Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
That's the truth. Ooh, yeah, baby. Everybody's a winner. Welcome to Winning with Mainstay and Anna Lee and Bob. We're both here in this dreary, windy, getting cold day. But you know what? We're happy we're here because we're both healthy. Aren't we, Bob?
Yes, we are healthy. And is it getting colder by the hour or what?
It is.
I think by the minute.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got all these wonderful weather people at the radio station. They should be able to do something about this, right. You know?
If only we could, right?
That's right. That's right.
Don't
turn it around.
Don't you people have, as Carmen would say, any authority, you know? I mean, it seems like y'all could do something about that. But listen, if you got some questions, comments, call us, 437-1620. Either call us or text us. We'd love to hear from you. Questions or comments on things we're talking about are things that you talk about and have questions about, because that's why we do this. Every week we do this for you, because we're trying the hardest that we can to get you the most information that we can as quickly as we can and as updated as it can possibly be. So, you know, you want to know something, doggone, call us or text us, 437-1620, or call us at the office. We'll be glad to answer questions for you and make sure that you're heading on that right path, because that becomes very, very important. So besides being cold, Mr. Bob, what else is going on in your world?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm just coming off a really nice weekend. Just celebrated another birthday and did a lot of eating out. And working on that belt line in the wrong direction, but that's okay.
Well,
had a great weekend.
Happy birthday! That's awesome.
Yeah,
thank you, Jenna.
You just had a birthday, and today is Lance's birthday. He is 1 year old.
That's exactly right.
Oh my gosh! Just a little younger than Bob. A little younger than Bob.
Yeah. We're 1 day apart.
Oh gosh, isn't that scary?
Great? Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Jenna, let's get something straight. This is the bigger birthday, Lance's, okay? This is very important. Tell us about Lance's birthday, Annalie.
Well, you know, he has had happy birthday sung to him every month on the 2nd. Because, you know, he was 3 months old, then he was 4 months old. And now, of course, you know, it's the big day. So it was like we woke up singing happy birthday this morning. And he was
told all day yesterday,
we kept telling him, now, remember, tomorrow you're going to be a big boy. So we got to stop this puppy stuff because tomorrow you're going to be a big boy. I don't think it sunk in.
it makes sense because he's far older than one, you know, in dog years, right? You've got to have several birthdays throughout the year. So, I'm down with that.
So it's been good. So let's kind of talk about some things that are going on. You know, let's look at some of the changes that are occurring in health care. We wanted to kind of hit on 9 ways coronavirus is speeding changes in healthcare, because healthcare is a major cost for everyone. I don't care what your age is. You know, when you're younger, you're either paying those high insurance premiums, or you're working somewhere that maybe you don't want to work, but you're working there because you get health benefits. And that has become so, so important to us. If you're older and you're beyond that age of 65, you put into the Medicare system, and now you are paying a Medicare premium. And the more money you're making during retirement, the higher that Medicare premium is, that Part B, and also the drug plan. Those are tied directly to your income. And what we have seen happen because of this virus is that millions, yes, I said millions, not a couple of hundred, millions of unemployed people have all of a sudden lost their health insurance at one of the most critical times in the world, when we need health insurance. Very good friend of ours, I got a call from her. Her son is 50 years old. He and his wife both have very good jobs. He got COVID. He got over it. The whole family got it again. And his lungs had been damaged from several years ago. There was a house fire. And in getting his family out of the home, he suffered lung damage. Well, he got COVID again. The man is 50. He is the epitome of the picture of health. Loves to snow ski, do all those hiking, all those good outdoor things. He has been on a respirator. Are you ready for this? For 4 months. They are now talking lung transplant. Well, guess what's happened in the meantime? He's lost his job. So, you know, now we have a GoFundMe set up for him, and send some money over to that this weekend. But you look at that. So here's a young couple, both employed, children, some in college, others, you know, that they're still supporting, not yet college age, high school. And all of a sudden this happened. So what are we going to do as a nation to get around this type of thing? You know, there's more and more talk about the fact that we're not going to tie health to employment as much as we do now. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that or not, because if we don't, that's going to kind of jump into what they call that Medicare for all. And Bob, I know you've heard pros and cons on that.
Right. And I think in a perfect world, in a utopian society, yes, healthcare to all would be terrific. And they've had that in several countries, you know, including our neighbors to the north in Canada. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've read countless articles, Annalee, about, you know, us, you know, the United States being possibly the least progressive nation in mm-hmm. providing health care to all. And you know, it's just a, you know, it's a constant battle. It's a topic in every political campaign. And I think it will be something that is going to be addressed in a big way by the current administration, and not tying health care to employment.
Yes. And I think part of what we're going to start doing is seeing a lot of changes in how healthcare is, how they determine what it's going to cost. Like one of the things I know that has happened, and I've done this myself over the past year twice, is this whole idea of telemedicine. Instead of going mm-hmm. to see your doctor, you might be on a phone call, or a Zoom call with the physician's assistant or one of the head nurses. And that certainly costs the system a lot less money than me going in and visiting with my doctor for 20, 30 minutes. And, you know, at first I thought, boy, this is kind of like weird, talking to somebody over the phone and saying, you know, my sinuses are stuffed up, because what do they want to do? They want to look in your ears and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, sometimes that's not really necessary. But I think we're going to see more and more of that. I don't think that's going to stop. I mean, think about that yearly checkup, especially once you get a little bit older. That yearly checkup is basically just a lot of questions back and forth. You know, are you eating? Right. Are you sleeping? Are you? And I've always laughed because, you know, once you pass Medicare age, they start asking you all these really weird questions about, do you feel safe at home?
That's right.
Yeah. Unless the bear is in my front yard, yeah, I feel very safe, you know.
Right.
But telemedicine could take a lot of cost off.
Exactly. And, you know, when you go in for your annual checkup, it's almost like a throwback to the old days. You know, you get, you have your pulse taken, you know, what are they called? Your blood pressure, they may even tap you on the knee. You know, it's so basic that, you know, I think the annual checkup, I mean, you can get your blood pressure taken, you know, at a Walgreens or a CVS, you know?
Yeah.
The world is changing. Annalee, we've had a couple of folks recently apply for life insurance, and you know, you have the person that comes into your home, and that has become very, very abbreviated. As a matter of fact, they're calling beforehand and asking most of the questions, and of course they're stopping by, but it's really turned into a 2 to 3 minute encounter.
Instead of a 20-30. Bob, we've got Richard on the phone. Let's see what Richard has as a question. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay, I'm driving, so I'm trying to be careful and talk.
Yes,
I wanted
please.
To call you last week. I have a question about mutual funds. I'm 65 years old. I have 3 mutual funds, each with $25,000 in them. One's a Roth IRA, one is a SEP IRA, and one is a individual. And I'm trying to move everything over into the Roth, of course. Can you tell me about how much I can move over per year into the Roth without too much tax consequences?
That's not a yes no question, Richard, because it's going to depend upon what your tax level is now and how close you are to the next bracket. This is where we always tell people, you know, have your financial person and your tax person talking to each other to help you decide how much you can move over without overpaying on taxes. You know, Bob, you've talked about this consistently with that high deduction we have right now as a standard deduction. A lot of times we can convert and pay hardly anything.
Right. You know, Richard, I know you asked about what the limits are as far as converting. There are no limits. There are only limits on contributions. But as far as converting your individual or traditional IRA to a Roth, there are no limits. The limit is a self-imposed limit, and it depends on how much money you're making. Richard, are you married?
Yes.
Okay. So you're filing a joint return. As long as your taxable income is under about $80,000, and that means making over $100,000, and taking the $25,100 standard deduction plus whatever else you're able to, you know, push your income down, you are going to be paying only 12% on any amount you convert, as long as you keep it under right around $80,000. So that may be
under
in 2021.
I'm under 80,000.
Okay.
And I'd like to try to move. What's the most I can move from the individual into the Roth? There's going to be tax consequences, of course, right?
Right. I would take it up to a taxable income of somewhere around 80,000. That way, you enjoy the rate of 12% versus it's spilling over into the 22% bracket, which is at about $81,000 of taxable income.
Yeah. So
the 12%. It really depends.
Yeah. And I would say, Richard, go ahead, hon.
Well, when everything's into the Roth, I can take it out as much or as little as I want with tax-free. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, so I'm trying to get everything into the Roth, you know, before I retire.
Yeah. On that
I was going to share with you, Richard,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Bob.
I was gonna share with you. I think Ann Lee were about to ask the same thing. You said you haven't retired yet, so you are still contributing to the SEP IRA, correct?
Yes, I am. $5,000 a year.
Yes. Okay. So you're still contributing to the SEP IRA. So you need all three. You need the individual, you need the Roth, and you need the SEP IRA. One day when you do retire, you can roll that SEP IRA into your individual or your traditional IRA. But, in the time being, it really depends on what you're making. And if you're in a low tax bracket, again, we go back to what Anna Lee said. It depends. It depends on how much you're making, and it becomes a conversation that you need to bring in your tax advisor. Or if you're doing your own taxes, you can certainly come in and meet with us, and we can kind of drive down to an amount that it would make sense to convert to a Roth IRA for 2021.
Yeah.
Well, my thought was to bring the $50,000 that is not in the Roth and $10,000 a year over into the Roth, and just pay the tax consequences on the $10,000, and in 5 years it'll all be in a Roth.
Yeah. And that's probably a very good plan, Richard, because you certainly don't want to convert too much at one time because you don't want to pay more tax than you have to. So that SEP, just be careful. You can't convert a SEP to an IRA until you have not been contributing to the SEP for 2 years. You could convert the SEP to a Roth SEP, and 2 years later, just put them all together. But just be careful in how you do conversions and how those things run together. Try to do things while the tax tables are lower, which they are right now. So take advantage of that as much as you possibly can. That was a great question, Richard. Thank you for calling us. Please be careful out there. It's a nasty day to be on the road. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about some of the other changes that COVID has brought about and what's going on. And I find this one amazing. There's a prediction that, these group homes for seniors are going to start seeing less people in them. For a long time, that was one of the big things that, they just kept growing and growing. We kept getting more and more and more of them. Seems like that might change. We're going to come back to that. We've got a text. I'm about to retire. What should I do with my 401k I have at work? Well, that goes back to something you will hear me say all the time. If you're getting ready to retire, you first of all need to have a plan, and that plan has got to show you where you are, how long your money's going to last according to what your expenses are, But one of the first things I would do if I were you is I would come in and see somebody like Bob and I and convert that 401k into an IRA so that you have control of that and not the 401k and the company that you were about to retire from. Bob, you want to give them a couple of reasons on that as to why you'd want to do it?
Yeah, as far as reasons you would want to roll it over, you may have an IRA that you've already started. You may want to consolidate your assets. The other reason is choices, and I'll give you a really good example of choices. I helped my daughter this weekend enroll in her new 403B with her new employer. It's actually a hospital in North Carolina. She sent me the choices. She took a picture and texted me the choices in three different texts, and the total number of choices that she had to park her money or allocate her money in her new 403B with her employer, the total number of choices was 12. And five of those choices were target retirement date funds. That's a whole different story. That's, you may want to be careful before investing in a target retirement date fund. But again, the message I'm trying to deliver to our listener is you have very few choices typically in your company's plan. And I think in this instance, it's a 401k.
Right. So you want more choice. You want to own it. You don't want the company that you've left to be making the rules on it because they have the right to make all rules. You want to be able to get that thing out so you can set up your beneficiaries where if you pass away, your beneficiary then sits with your advisor and the advisor is your beneficiary as to choices. The custodian on the 401k will not do that, So simplification,
you also cannot convert to a Roth IRA within your employee plan. Need to roll it out into your IRA to actually convert to a Roth IRA, like we were discussing with Richard, our previous caller.
Right. So, you just get a lot more choices if you do the IRA. You get hands-on. You get someone to talk to. And what I tell most people is think about how many years you worked for that company. How many times did that custodian come out to help you rebalance? How many Zoom calls did they do with you? How many times did they say, listen, you're getting older. We need to rebalance that portfolio. Most people say to me zero. So if they paid that much attention to you while you were there, how much attention do you think you're going to get once you leave? I mean, it's just a thing of, do you want control of your own money? I like having control of my money. I don't want somebody else to do that. You have an advisor, they don't have control. They help you pull a plan together and implement that plan. They do the grunt work for you so that you don't have to be there watching every single solitary day and hoping that you're making correct decisions. Before we go to break too, Bob, I want to go back. There was a text that came in, and I can't answer this one. Maybe you can. Can you suggest a phone-based app for budgeting to help an individual keep expenses in line? I don't know of a phone-based app of anything like that. Do you?
You know what? The two websites I go to for things like that that just have almost everything is NerdWallet. That's a website. I know it does have some sort of, I don't know how detailed the app is, but NerdWallet and Investopedia are two that will probably guide you in the right direction to setting something up like that.
Okay. So as whoever texted that, try those two. We tend to give our clients a sheet that helps to keep track of budgeting. And one of the things that we found is if you actually write it down and do that month to month, you're going to stick to it. Okay. We're going to go.
Right.
Is Mr. Mark going to tell me that the sun is going to come out and that, you know, we're going to get beautiful weather again?
The sun will come out sometime.
That's it.
Sometime.
Oh, no.
Not today. Sorry. We'll have the latest coming up after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The Biden administration announces sanctions over the treatment of a Russian opposition leader.
Alexei Navalny was poisoned last year, apparently with a nerve agent, and has more recently been jailed. A senior official in the Biden administration says the penalties target a number of Russian officials. The U.S. is also considering a response to a massive cyber attack on federal government agencies. Russia says it will retaliate.
Fox's Simon Owen. Fox confirms the former president and Melania Trump got coronavirus vaccines unannounced in January before leaving the White House. And a car company is getting rid of gas-powered engines and salespeople.
Volvo Cars is going all electric by the year 2030 and will shift all sales online. The company plans to cut dealers out of the car buying process. Showrooms will be used for showing some models, picking up cars, and for service.
Fox's Ginny Cassola. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. It's 48, cloudy, drizzle. Good morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. Doses of the newest COVID vaccine could be in Florida, in the governor's words, very, very soon. Governor DeSantis saying he expects about 175,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine this week. Unlike Moderna and Pfizer, the J&J vaccine requires just one shot. DeSantis also saying he's expanding vaccine access to include sworn law enforcement officers, firefighters, and school employees who are 50 or older. Portion of Cody Avenue at East Johnson Avenue intersection closed and detoured starting today. That will last through next Monday as work progresses on the Cody Avenue and East Johnson signalization project. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Today, about a 90% chance you'll be picking up some rain. Temperatures a little bit on the cool side today. That high near 60 degrees, falling as we head overnight near 47 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
It's 48 in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are broadly lower. The Dow Industrials down 90 at 31,445. The Nasdaq's down 131. The S&P 500 off 22. Target reported a 21% jump in holiday quarter revenue, much higher than analyst estimates, as same-day delivery and store pickup services helped fulfill robust demand for home goods, toys, and groceries. Sales through its same-day deliveries and store pickup services surged 212%, but Target shares are down 4.5% on worries that this trend can't continue. A Moroccan landscape painted by Winston Churchill and owned by Angelina Jolie has sold at auction for more than $11.5 million. Smashing the previous record for a work by Britain's World War II leader. The image of the 12th century mosque in Marrakesh at sunset with the Atlas Mountains in the background was the only painting that Britain's wartime prime minister completed during the conflict. And that's Your Money Now.
Join Jerome Shannon, conductor of the Pensacola Opera, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow morning at 10. Call 437-1620 or text your questions. The Pensacola Opera main stage production of Gilbert and Sullivan's beloved comedy, HMS Pinafore, March 10th, 12th, and 14th. Tickets on sale now at PensacolaOpera.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective.
even money saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob. And doggone, that's what we're here to do, is help you to win. I don't know, Bob, if you just heard what I heard on the news. We're talking about changes that have been brought about by the coronavirus. Volvo is cutting out its showrooms and going strictly on the web. I mean, okay, people, this is a whole change. This whole segment that's coming about. And why do you think they're doing this? Because they found out that during all this, when people couldn't get out and go places, that people would go on the internet to buy a blasted car, something people would not have done 20 years ago, right. 30 years ago. I still can't imagine myself doing it, because I like to sit in the car and drive the car and gun it and see how much pickup it has and, you know,
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, you know?
And maybe even more importantly is Volvo's entire fleet will be electric by the year 2030.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what changes, you know, we're experiencing right now, you know, and GM has announced, I guess, by 2035. I mean, if you don't believe that electric vehicles are here to stay, you know, there's really something.
Oh, they're
wrong
coming.
With you. But,
they're coming. We've got a whole segment. We're going to talk about that. But, you know, just think about that, that things are changing. Again, let's go back to what we were talking about, the group homes for seniors, because seniors during this pandemic, many of them complain that they were prisoners. They said it was like a nursing home prison because they couldn't leave their room. Families could not visit. And of course, that was done to control the spread of the virus. But for the senior inside of a facility, this was extremely hard because without socialization, people tend to regress very, very quickly. So are we now going to see more in-home health care than we have previously? And it seems like something toward that may be happening. Other thing that's happened during all this stuff with COVID is we've seen the big pharmaceutical companies become the heroes. You know, because people always complain, my medicine costs too much, my medicine costs too much. But man, they came out the heroes here. I mean, they developed what we needed. They got it out on the market very, very quickly. Of course, we still have a long way to go, but maybe we're going to kind of change our minds about them.
Yeah. They're not only being developed here, they're being manufactured here. You know, we really control that whole distribution process, you know, not only for our citizens here, but, you know, possibly, you know, the planet. And there are countries that just don't have, you know, the luxuries that we do. And that is having the vaccine here.
Yes. And, you know, part of that has come back to the whole thought of government about American manufacturing. Not that we're saying we don't need to be global, but there are certainly things we need to keep on supply here in the United States when things are needed. That was proven when we got down to the need for masks and the need for respirators. And we just didn't have enough of that stuff being manufactured, which goes back to now the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, I think we're going to see them come back with a heavier play as such in everything that's going on and making sure that things are out there and they're going to be available. Because I could be wrong in this, and Bobby can tell me what you think, but I don't think this is the last one of these massive type things that we're going to see. Our world is too small now. We have people going back and forth constantly. I think we better be prepared for whatever comes next. Yes. And it could be something big, you know?
Exactly.
So I think we're going to see our infrastructure change.
Right. And we talk about these things, you know, just look at a few of the things we have just talked about in this conversation. So 12 months ago it was, what are we going to do with all this office space? And now we're talking about assisted living facilities. We're talking about, what else did we talk about? Gas stations, automobile showrooms and all their acres of lots, right, with new vehicles.
Right.
There are so many things that are going to change. I mean, even our schools or these giant arenas where we would go to watch, games or whatever it is, basketball, football games, they may be a thing of the past, right?
Well, and I think I mentioned to you last week, we did the symphony at home, and we'll do it again this Saturday, because they offer to either give you a refund for your annual tickets or give you a link to go to the website where you listen to the symphony. And it was wonderful to sit at home and be able to pet the snowsies and have a little glass of wine and listen to the symphony. It was like, wow, I really like this.
Exactly.
And of course, when it's warmer, my neighbors are going to love it because I'll sit outside and hook it up to the Bluetooth and the whole neighborhood can listen to the symphony, you know?
You're one of those.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I believe in sharing the joy. I like to share.
I love that.
You know? I think we're going to see changes coming along and go back to the healthcare type thing. I think we're going to start seeing retired physicians and nurses, and I think we're going to see them more in use for preventative healthcare, home healthcare. The hospitals, my goodness, they have certainly changed a lot. I think you're going to see a lot of changes demanded once this comes about. I don't know. I think it's going to happen. I think we're seeing a lot of it already. And I think we're going to see more and more. And one of the things we were going to talk about today, is it time to get an electric car? Well, who knows? Yeah. Honda just said they're going all electric. Volvo, I'm sorry, said they're going all electric. There's more variety now. Mercedes, Lexus are developing, Cadillac are developing electric cars. That's whoa.
I believe General Motors by 2035, Volvo by 2030. Now it's kind of like the race to space, right? I mean, soon can we be all electric?
Right. And I'll tell you, the one thing I really, really don't like about them, they give you a lot of positives, like there's going to be more variety, Kia, Ford, Porsche, Ferrari, Mercedes-Benz are all coming out with things that are going on. They talk about low maintenance because there's no oil changes, of course, fewer moving parts, the performance. This doesn't impress me. The performance is like, okay, you can get a good acceleration. I mean, they don't know I'm used to acceleration of Mach speed. I just don't think I could have the acceleration that I like. lower costs because we don't fuel it all the time. But this is the thing I don't like. It's the range. I mean,
right.
I go to Louisiana. You know, I could make it to New Orleans, but I couldn't make it to Morgan City on one charge.
That's right.
That'd be pretty inconvenient.
That's right.
You know?
And that is probably the biggest knock. And I know Tesla is kind of leading the way in miles range. And it is, I think they're between 300 and 400. Now, the technology is increasing exponentially, and the range will increase. But for me, for right now, I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow, knowing that you've only got, you know, 300 miles without, you know, I'm not driving to Virginia. I'm not, you know, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, and I'm not saying I don't see the positives. I definitely see the positives. I see the help for the environment. But it's almost like you'd have to have two automobiles, one for short distance driving and one for long distance driving. Because, you know, not every place you go to have the ability to plug a car in. Cost for fuel over the long run, of course, would be a lot less. A lot of rebates on those cars, lots of incentives to drive them. And I thought this was interesting. They are going to make a VW bus for all of us who were raised during the age of the hippies. There's going to be a VW bus that they're going to have as an electronic vehicle. I mean, that's like, whoa, I love this. And it's starting in 2022. So those of you who want to have some nostalgia, it's, you know, it's got a lot of positives about it. It's got more power than the old one used to have, because we all know that whoever drove around in one of those, it was like you'd press in the accelerator and wait for it to kick in, you know.
Right.
But they're saying this is going to happen. So.
Yeah. And I've had the good fortune of being able to test drive a couple of Teslas. I've driven my friends, a good friend of mine, John Ellis of Voyage Realty. He leased a Tesla. I think that's a great way to go. And a lot of folks want to lease these vehicles because the technology is changing so quickly. You don't want to be stuck with one that has a range of 250 or 300 miles when it's going to be 600 or perhaps more, you know, 800, 1,000 a couple of years from now. But the one observation I had, and I thought you might mention this, when we drove it, and if you're on a nice, smooth asphalt road, and, you know, we had a couple walking in the street. There were no sidewalks, and they were walking in the street. They didn't have headphones on or anything. They couldn't even hear us coming.
Yes.
They couldn't hear us coming because the vehicle really makes no noise. And and then I was with John. I was with John once, and I was taking a call, and I was talking to him, and he said he had to go. And he got in his car, and I was standing in front of his car. And I thought he was doing something in his car, but as I stood there, I didn't even know it, but he had started the car, and he was ready to go. And I really didn't even know that. You just can't hear them. And, you know, I want to be able to hear any vehicle coming.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, I have to be very careful with my car, and it's not electric. I have actually a couple of times gotten out of the car, gotten distracted by the dogs, getting them out, and did not realize I had not turned my car off. And I've walked right past it. I kid you not, I walk right past the motor, and you don't even hear it. Because, you know, I get distracted taking them out of the car, doing whatever. So, you know, a lot of the cars now are very, very quiet. So you have to be aware of that kind of stuff. And someone just texted in, and you kind of answered that already, Bob, is it smarter financially to lease an electric car rather than purchase? And, you know, the thing is, if you want to keep up with technology, probably yes. If you don't drive a lot of miles, leasing is always an option. Now, if you drive a lot of miles and you don't care about switching on the technology, probably not a good idea. Leasing has its place. It is not for everyone.
Right.
So you really have to sit down and do numbers on that before you say, yes, that's what I'm going to do. But I think that's what we're seeing more and more now is people who have electric cars have them more for in-town driving. I don't think that we see a lot of, you know, people that are taking long, long trips with those types of transportation. So it's something that's there. We got about 10 minutes left. And what I want to do, Bob, is I have got to go through this other article we went through about the pandemic because, you know, it's dear to my heart. An increase of people who have pets because of the pandemic.
Right.
Ah, even I have thought about another puppy. Slap my hand. Who said that? No.
We need an intervention, Annalie.
I know, we do. We really, really do. I'm not doing it.
No,
I tease
okay.
when
I'm
I
right
say
there
that.
With you. I'm right there with you.
You know, but you look at those little faces and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of fall apart. But they do, pets do bring health benefits. Besides the fact they're wonderful companions, especially now when we've been so locked up for so long, not had the communication we used to, you know. And I tell you one thing, they don't talk back. You know, it's like you can have your opinion and they're not going to say, no, that's wrong. You know, so it's I think they're good to have. It's medically proven that they decrease your blood pressure. What a great thing. They lower cholesterol levels. They reduce levels of triglycerides. That's your body fat. That's the bad body fat that causes heart attacks. They decrease feelings of loneliness. How important is that right now? And here's really, really a good one. They really do make you exercise. One of my friends said to me not long ago, is like, man, you know, I have a problem bending over and getting back up. I said, look, get a couple of Schnauzers because you were constantly bending over and picking stuff up off the floor, taking stuff out of their mouth, getting back up. I get more exercise than most people do. David's on the phone. Let's see what David's got to say. David.
Hi there. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Tell me what your question is.
Okay. Not really a question, but maybe a question. You were speaking of the electric cars you were speaking of a while ago about electric automobiles and how they won't go very far and so forth. Well, go back in history, searching on the electric car business and the internet, and you will find some write-ups of the ads, the Sears Roebuck ad for the electric cars about 1912, 1910.
Yeah.
And it shows little ladies getting in their car and turn it on. They don't have to crank it, none of that stuff. Head them down the road wherever they want to go. That's one thing. That's 80, 90 years ago, or more than that. But all these electric cars, all they have to do is set up a battery exchange point. You know, you drive 200 miles, you pull in, they take your battery out, slap another one in, it's already charged up, and you head down the road in 2 minutes. That's all they've got to do. And they will do that eventually. Because this
kind of
like swapping.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's kind of like swapping your propane tank, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly
the same thing.
Yeah.
Sure. You're right. Yeah. They just haven't addressed that problem yet, but they will. They will when they get a lot of electric cars out there.
Thank you, David.
Thank
and
you.
They're going to have more charging stations than they do now. You know, that's another one of the problems. They don't have enough places to charge if you're traveling. Not every place is going to have that. So if you're going somewhere, you would need to check and see if there's something where, you know, you travel X amount of miles, you're going to be able to charge up to leave again in the morning. So that too is part of it. But yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of changes, and we'll see those things coming in bit by bit. I mean, if you look back, my grandmother was born in 1900. She saw one of the first automobiles in Jenneret, Louisiana, that ever hit the road in Louisiana. Now, you think about that. You know, I drive here from Gulf Breeze, and how many automobiles do I see? And what a variety of automobiles do I see? And here my grandmother saw the first automobile to hit the roads in that portion of Louisiana. And just think, back then they had one model, and that was it.
Yeah. That was the Model T?
Yeah. Think about that.
Wow.
I mean, you know.
Wow. Gosh.
So think. I mean, she was around when the first flew, the automobiles hit. And I mean, that was my grandmother. That's not that far removed when you think about that. And the changes she saw in her lifetime. And because of computers, our changes have so exponentially multiplied in how quickly they occurred, it's mind-boggling. You know, you think about that. She was around when the first plane flew. Look at all the different types of planes we have now, and the stealth planes and all those types of things. So if we don't think all this is going to continue to change, we're not all living on the same planet, because things are going to keep happening. They're going to keep happening, you know? So,
right. We got turned back to the EVs again, and but we were about to finish up on the you know, all of the virtues of having a pet during this global pandemic.
Yeah.
And I love the one that you just finished talking about, and that was that the almost the unconscious exercise that you get from having a pet. And I mean, that's just a great advantage. And I think about myself and how often I get up and get, you know, and sit back down, and whether I'm leaning over to pet my dog or, you know, getting up to let her out. And, it's not exercise that you have a choice in. You got to get up, you got to take care of this pet. Right.
You got to get up. You got to move. I mean, it's like, you know, Jolie is getting older, and I worked out of the house yesterday, and she was on one of her little beds, and it was between me where I had the computer set up and where the printer is. So every time I went to the printer to get something off, I passed by her little bed. Well, guess what I did every single solitary time? I either bent down and picked her up, or I got on the floor and nuzzled with her a little bit, and then got back up and went back to work. So without thinking about it, I did probably the equivalent of close to 100 sit-ups, because I'm moving all the time and doing whatever. You know, and think about how many times, and you see me do this all the time, Bob, how many times do I pick them up to cuddle them?
Right.
Well, that's 17, 20 pounds I'm picking up, putting down, picking up, putting down. Kind of like the old tricep, you know? I mean, is it so?
That's right. The tricep.
You'll know I'm really good when I got one in each hand, right?
When you have a beverage in one hand and your pet in the other, you know, or in your lap, that's a pretty good workout, right?
No, I've done that multiple times. So, that's a good workout. All right, people, go out, say please, say thank you. Tell somebody they've done a good job, and you will make it a wonderful world. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
What a wonderful world.